Hey, listeners, this is Saibal Sen bringing you another episode of India Startup Talk, where I talk about trends and findings that I personally come across in my role as an investor and a mentor. And I hope that you startup folks, as well as other co-investors like me, find this useful. So let me jump in, and the topic today is meet some of the 5G companies in India. So you must have read in the newspapers that Jio, Airtel, and Vodafone are all competing for spectrum. So the impression is this is all about another generation, faster network, big money. But let's go behind the scenes, and a cool way of doing that, I think, is to meet some of the indigenous startups from India, and see what they're doing, understand what they're doing. This is quite exciting. I've done some 5G podcasts before. You may have heard it, but if you haven't, no problem. I'll try to quickly summarize some of my thoughts on the real potential of 5G as I go along. And it's very refreshing to see that there are not just software companies, which obviously India is very strong at, but there are also some hardware companies that are coming up. And before I go into who these companies are, maybe I should give you a little background on how I found these companies. Now, some of you already know I am actually a volunteer committee member in the Department of Telecom, where they run annual competition. It's not really a competition, it's more like a contest. The idea is to give out some grants for early stage startup, which is fantastic because investors, commercial investors like angel investors, well, maybe some angel investors do invest, but certainly not the venture capitalists will not touch a company unless you have traction in the market. So these are early stage companies that just have a proof of concept or a minimum viable product. And those were the companies that had entered the competition. There was a long list of like 200 companies that had applied, and out of which our selection committee went through that and picked 53 finalists. So I'll go into that process soon, soon after I give you some more background. And these companies I picked, I don't want the other companies to feel I didn't pick them, but I particularly wanted to zero in because it's not possible to talk about 53 companies. I just wanted to pick some flavorings in key areas. So that's the reason for picking these particular companies. So let's talk about the companies. And as I said, I want to put these companies in three different buckets. And those buckets are, first bucket would be radios, the part that is the wireless infrastructure, those antennas on rooftops and the mechanism that is required to broadcast that signal. Now, radios are the most expensive part of a wireless network. So the good news is that there are four companies that are working in this space. There are some more, but these are the four I picked. The first one I want to talk about is Lekha Wireless, and this is the most traditional type of radio. It's great that India is making its own indigenous radios. The mainstays are companies like Ericsson, Nokia, and the likes. But Lekha is making, obviously, since it's going to be made in India, we expect the price to be much more palatable for the Indian market. And it has all the trappings of a 5G radio, which is a completely different animal from 4G. It's open, it's capable of packing a lot of signal, and there's a whole bunch of things in it. I won't go into it right now, but suffice it to know, it's great news that Lekha Wireless is making these products for India. The second company is Sukhta Consulting. And Sukhta Consulting's radio or the antennas will run on generic processors. So, like, think of any CPU that runs in a data center. You take that, and their software will run on any platform, whether it's Linux or Windows, and provided it has enough horsepower, you can create a 5G radio infrastructure using their software. So that's the cool part. The third company is Galore Networks, and similar to Sukta, they also have a software-defined radio. And the cool thing is, it's because it's in software, it can be configured to operate in different frequencies. I'll go a little bit into why that is key. Some of you may know that the spectrum frequency is different in different countries. So it depends on which spectrum is available, and the government allows the telcos and even private operators to work in that spectrum. So it's not such that you buy any radio and you put it up and it'll start working. It has to be tuned or configured to operate at that frequency where you're permitted to broadcast and receive signals. So Sukta's solution is a software radio, and you can configure it to any spectrum that you want. So that's the cool thing about Sukta's solution. Galore Network is similar. Now, what they're doing is they are really opening up the entire radio, the standards body. Unlike the prior generations, have created or mandated a very open architecture, which really means that if you look at the radios from the prior generations, like the 3G and the 4G, if Airtel or AT&T is operating those radios, only they have the internal access to that radio's operation and all the data that it has. Whereas in 5G, it's an open radio, meaning that anybody can connect to it, provided, of course, they have the permissions. So what that really does is it opens up the market for even small players to buy their own radio and put it up on their building and become available as a transmitter of 5G signals. And they can then contract with Airtel or Vodafone or AT&T or whoever else who wants to use their antenna. So it creates a business opportunity. So that's the thing about having an open interface in the radio. This is truly exciting in the 5G space. The last one I want to talk about in the radios, the fourth company, well, actually there's two in this space. One company is called Big Cat Wireless, and the other one is Matrix Shell. And the reason I'm lumping these two companies together is because they do similar things. And what it is they are providing you with a software to scan the airwaves and even record it. So let's say there is a 5G setup, there's a transmitter, and then there is a receiver, somebody's phone, or somebody's, you know, robotic equipment that is 5G enabled, and you want to do some diagnostics or testing before you release the product. Using their product, you can monitor the airwaves and record the signals, the two-way conversation that is going on the airwaves between the tower and the, let's say, the robot, which is 5G enabled. And you can then, you know, see what's going on, what's going right, if it's compliant, if there are any errors, if there's communication errors going on, there's some fine-tuning required. So it's basically like a diagnostic tool. So between these four companies, as you can see, the radio part of 5G is pretty well covered. The next part I want to talk about in the 5G wireless setup, there's the radio, right? And then there is the core network. It's called the core network, which is basically the brains of the network itself, because the radios are just taking these signals and transmitting it in the airwaves and receiving it and managing that. I mean, it's not a trivial task, but the bigger part of the 5G network is the core. So the core is where you're enabling the whole 5G network operations, including protocols, the handshaking, the communication signals and everything. Now, two companies I want to talk about is Neural Networks and CosGrid. So Neural is an interesting company. What they are offering is private 5G as a service. What that means is that you as an enterprise can now create your own 5G self-contained network. Who might that be? Let's say there's a mining company that is far removed from the reach of, let's say, Airtel or Vodafone. And their options are to wire the place using fiber optics, because you need high speed, right? Or with the new technology of 5G, they can just buy radio from, let's say, Leica Wireless, right? And buy the software from Neural for the core and set up their own 5G network as if they are a little mini Airtel within that mining campus. Now, why is that interesting? It's interesting because, and I'll go into a little detail of why 5G is different. Some of you may already know the details, so just bear with me. Now, the difference between 4G and other wireless networks like Wi-Fi, not only is it much faster, but it has no delays, which is the reason why you can't operate things like drones and robots and cars and use the existing wireless networks, be it Wi-Fi or be it 4G, to control things that have a dependency on time sensitiveness, like robotics vehicles. So autonomous vehicles, when they're moving around, you can't be communicating with a server that is somewhere else, because the delay in the signal from the car to the backend server, which is somewhere in a data center, could be long enough to cause a fatal accident or a crash, okay? Now, 5G networks, there's relatively negligible delays. It's in the order of nanoseconds. So that speed allows you to virtually treat 5G networks as if it was a fiber optic connected network. So back to where I was, Neural Networks gives you the entire software stack, and you can license it from them as a cloud software implemented in an enterprise like a mine or something, and be able to do robotics and drones and things like that wirelessly. So that's why it's interesting. The second company, which is not exactly 5G related, it's more to do with software-defined wide area networks, also known as SD-WANs. Some of you may know what it is, but SD-WAN quite simply is if you are a bunch of companies spread across different parts of India, like different cities or even different countries, you connect each of your branch offices in a private network. So your computers are interconnected. You're not going over the internet. You're going over your own private network. Now, setting that up used to be pretty complex. You had to buy lines from other companies and you had to manage them. You had to pay annual fees. But with 5G networks, you can have that connectivity and overlay SD-WAN on it with all the securities, and you can have your virtual private network, so to speak. And that's why SD-WAN is interesting. And CostGrid is a company, one of the companies in India that provides a full stack SD-WAN, which complements 5G nicely. And that's why I bring that company up. So those are the two companies that are interesting in the core networks. There are others in the list, but just to give you an idea of what's going on in this space. The third one is my favorite area. The most interesting, the most potential of 5G lies in the future applications that are going to come about. No one talks about it, but I have been a huge proponent and a huge cheerleader for the potential for applications that can run on 5G once it comes out and becomes commercially available. You know, I want to talk about the statement that I made about excitement about applications in 5G. So to explain that better, let me take you back in history just to get your attention a little bit. Way back in 1980, John Gage of Sun Microsystems, a computer company, famously said that the network is the computer. What he meant in those days was that Sun Microsystem computers were going to be intelligent desktops that had the ability to tap onto the CPU of other Sun Microsystem computers and use the unused CPU power to run applications that would not have been possible to run on the specific computer that the user was trying to run on. Okay? Now, with 5G, the same thing is becoming true. The network is becoming the computer. But the huge difference is this is in the wireless world. It's never been done before. So the features like possibility of, no, not possibility, but the edge computing feature, the ultra low latency, and the ultra wide bandwidth in a wireless network, and the open interface. So if you combine these elements, it creates a perfect storm for what I call 5G applications that will just blow anybody away for, you know, in terms of the generational leap that we are making is tremendous. Now, I want to give you a little bit of an example of how this comes about. You know, these were just words, right? So let's put it in some kind of a story, you know, like a use case. I don't know if you guys have heard about this robot called Spot, which is made by Boston Dynamics. It's a company out of Boston. It looks like this robot looks like a dog. It's like walks around it. It's got a real funny trot. You should watch some of the YouTube videos. Really funny. You'll see videos of the Boston Dynamics engineers kicking that dog, and the dog just gets up on its feet. It's very articulate. It can navigate stairs. It's very smart robot. Now, talking about the pre-5G era, Spot had to rely on its intelligence completely on board. That means everything that it did, all the visual processing, controlling its motors to balance itself, get back on its feet, all that was sitting on its own back. With 5G, Spot's brain has suddenly become humongous, because all that intelligence doesn't have to sit on his back. It can be on the edge network, on the edge part of 5G. Now, if I haven't explained what edge is, let me just go into it quickly. So 5G has this ability, 5G networks, that on the cell towers or very close to the end user, there is a provision to have some compute power. So instead of the classical model, when you're using a SaaS kind of a situation, you are running a software in your computer in your browser, but the majority of the heavy lifting is being done on a data center far away, right? But when it comes to real-time processing and doing something that is in need of very low latency, then the concept of sending it far away to a data center just doesn't make sense. So in 5G, the edge, which is closest to the end user, think of it like a cell tower. There'll be provision in the cell tower itself to have some computers being able to run applications. So in Spot's case, you could be taking all that intelligence of visual processing and how Spot navigates obstacles, climbs upstairs. Perhaps if Spot never encountered a staircase that was very steep. So now you don't have to program all these routines and keep it on Spot's back, but it can sit on that edge computing platform in 5G and use it as if it was an extension of its own brain. And now this is only possible because of the open interfaces. It's possible because of the low latency, and it's possible because of the ultra high bandwidth. So as if the brain on the edge and the brain on Spot's back are just one piece of equipment, only that there is no cables, nothing, it's all wireless. So you can imagine the potential. So now that I've given you an idea of what I mean by 5G applications, let's go into the companies that I came across in the DOT grantee contest. The first company I want to talk about is GigaYasa. So GigaYasa provides a simulation of 5G networks. So anybody who wants to write an application, it will be very suitable for them. They can create a testbed environment of a 5G network. You don't have to go out into a live 5G network and try out your application. So that's the benefit of using GigaYasa's products. And it's particularly helpful for companies that wish to develop applications. The other one is Ahisa Digital. And Ahisa Digital, what they do is they provide the platform for the edge computing that I was talking about. So they are actually creating a piece of hardware that will have the compute power to do network functions or even compute functions within the 5G fabric itself. So they talk about things like you can create e-firewalls, electronic firewalls, routers, and network functions. But it can also, for example, run spots, compute requirements on their edge platform. So there you have it. You have one company, GigaYasa, that has got a simulation. Another company, Ahisa Digital, that does the provides the edge platform. The other company, we talked about open networks, right? So Knapstract. Knapstract is a company that is creating a set of APIs or application programming interfaces to 5G networks. So imagine that if you are interested in creating some applications and you want to tap into the 5G network, then using Knapstract's set of APIs, you can then get access to the edge computing platform. You can do some real-time functions. You can get the data from IoT devices. You can do all kinds of things that you are normally blocked away or shut out from closed networks like the previous generation. The last company on my list is Sientra. And Sientra, the interesting thing they're doing is they're taking non-5G enabled IoT devices, that there are thousands of them out there already, and they're not 5G enabled. So it kind of acts like a gateway to convert them into a 5G enabled IoT device. So you can imagine, if you go back to the story of Spot, you know, literally you could use Knapstract for tapping into a 5G network, and you get a set of APIs from Boston Dynamics on how to operate Spot, and you use Ahisa Digital's Edge platform, and you can write some applications to have Spot as your night watchman around your house. And that application could be commercially available application, and Spot knows exactly the perimeter of your house, what times to go out. You can program all that into an app that you could buy commercially and buy Spot Robot and create your own night watchman. So I hope it gives you an idea of what I mean by 5G applications. So let me conclude then. What I would like to say, I introduced you to companies in three different buckets. What is extremely gratifying and refreshing to see is that indigenous companies or startups in India have come up with such brilliant products and brilliant and useful products that will no doubt take us a long way in playing in the global market for 5G expansion, not only expansion, creation of 5G networks, but as I said, more excitingly for me, is the possibility of applications. So we talked about companies in three areas: the radios, which is a key part, okay, and then we talked about the core network, we talked about some companies there, and the applications space that I discussed in the very end. So hopefully this was useful for you guys. If you have any comments or suggestions, and if you want to participate in my podcast, reach out to me at ssen at zenesisconsulting.com, and be happy to talk to you. And until next time.